much about.
You gotta put it in the
Maybe I'm not selling the excitement of what's happening today, but let's see if this helps.
Y'all ready for this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Kevin Devine, it's the one. Remember me? I'm back. I want to say it's funny. Kernel quality guarantee. Kernel quality guarantee by KFC. I like that.
No, absolutely not. No. Hell no. Please leave the room.
And now.
These two guys are pieces of sh.
Our feature presentation.
Right?
Wow.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 25th of June.
Hey, kids.
What's happening?
Hey, Bean.
You guys have any trouble sleeping last night?
No.
No,
more than normal.
Well,
why?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, why?
Well, I mean, I would think you'd be tossing and turning.
Because
it was half Christmas Eve last night.
Oh, that's you go
why.
Straight to hell.
Because it was half Christmas Eve last night, and you knew we were going to wake up.
Hey. Oh, no, it's cutting out.
Oh, no, not the waitresses.
Hey, oh, I thought you guys, what a bummer. What happened? What? Bud. Huh?
Oh.
Half Christmas. Oh. Or half Christmas. Oh, man, this is really frustrating.
Oh, no. Oh. We're completely losing.
But wait a minute.
Aliens.
It was fun. That is.
Oh, Bean.
Oh, this is bad.
This is real bad. Maybe we should try and reset it.
Oh,
or
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe reset it on your end. Hey, it just cleared up.
Oh, weird. Oh, you're there.
Hey, is that working now? All right.
I don't know if it is.
It certainly is. I can tell
How?
You that.
How can
dare
you hate?
You?
How can you hate Santa?
I know.
For God's sake,
I love Santa in December.
It was really good to hear a little bit of Christmas rapping, though.
Thank you.
A little bit.
Thank you.
Mm.
We should play all Christmas music today, you guys.
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, that would be so terrible.
Wouldn't that be,
yeah,
the,
be the
best?
Worst.
I'm telling you,
what a terrible idea.
I'm telling you that
there's
people,
a time and a place, Bean.
Right,
this ain't
and,
it.
And people love those songs, and they haven't heard those songs for 6 months. And I am telling you that our listeners, if they woke up today and they turned on the radio,
we are losing you again.
Weird that we're having all this trouble.
Yeah.
After it working so well for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back. Cool.
Think about it. It's a great idea.
Oh.
All right. Moving on. Way to kill the half Christmas spirit.
There's no half Christmas spirit. It's not a thing.
Not with that attitude.
Not a thing.
Santa wept.
He did, and he should. And somebody's not going to be on Santa's list this December or next June.
Or next June.
I didn't want to do this story. I don't.
Well, who's making you?
Allie, you know what I'm talking about. It's unavoidable. The kids insisted. All they do is write to us and say, can't wait to hear you guys talk about this. Ooh, I bet this is going to be the first thing on Monday's show. Please do the story. I mean.
So you don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice. It's our brand. Okay. And
sometimes we don't love our brand.
Mm. Right.
But sometimes your brand makes us gag.
This is our lot in life. And again, it's not my choice. I don't want to do it, but I have to. It's a responsibility to the kids. All
just
right?
just a note. That's still okay.
All right.
Okay. The headline is doctors remove a live worm crawling under woman's face. Now,
we don't need to talk about that.
Don't
in detail.
Automatically think that it's horrible. Okay,
it wasn't, no, because it could be really great.
No, it wasn't great, but there's no harm, no foul. She's fine. Okay, and apparently, when this happens, and it happens infrequently, but more frequently than it used to, apparently you are fine. It's inconvenient and it's a little bit scary, but there's no damage done. All right, so I'm putting the upside on it first.
Okay,
right?
That's the upside.
A Russian woman bugged by a strange lump on her face was even more shocked to discover the cause a live worm. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, the 32-year-old woman first noticed strange nodules below her left eye. She took a picture of it, by the way. It later moved above her eye and then down to her upper lip.
The moving now, part would really disturb me.
Yeah. And if you saw her lip, it's like out to here.
Oh,
it is disgusting.
Now, it would disturb you, yes, Kevin, if you knew it was a worm. Wouldn't it confuse you if you didn't make the connection in your head to I have a live animal living inside my face?
I think the fact that it's moving would lead me to at least guess that maybe that's what's happening because injuries don't move for the most part.
Yeah,
I pretty much stay where they are.
I think I would be slow on the uptake on that one. I think it would take me a long time to
realize. If it was under your eye and it went all the way to your lip,
I'm really dumb, you guys. She told doctors the nodules appeared after she visited a rural area outside Moscow where she was bitten repeatedly by mosquitoes. The nodules caused occasional itching and burning, but she said she had no other symptoms. So doctors identified the suspect, which is a long parasitic roundworm called the Dirofilaria repens. It typically is spread by mosquitoes and hosted by dogs and other carnivores. They removed the squirming lump. God, I love that. The squirming lump.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, that's
who's hungry?
That is.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
That is rich. From the woman's face, using local anesthetic and a pair of forceps. It could have been worse, by the way, according to a physician who studies infectious diseases in Rostov, Russia. She told NPR that in 20% of cases, the worms can move considerable distances. They can start in your upper eyelid and travel your body all the way down to your buttocks.
Oh, my God. Allie's showing me a picture. Oh, this is gross.
Yes.
The worm, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, of course. How did they, how do they get in?
Butthole.
I'm sorry.
Well, it says that they're typically spread by mosquitoes, so I will assume that somehow when the mosquito bites you, it has some sort of a parasite in its system that is then transferred to yours?
Oh.
Does that make sense?
I don't know. Doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before.
Is that your understanding, Allie? Is that the mosquito is what gives it to you, so it seems like that's the parasite coming from the bug.
I get, but can it give you a worm?
Yeah, that's my question.
I mean, that's what seems to be happening. All right, here's my favorite part.
Oh, no.
Even worse, the worm can live up to 2 years in the human body if it isn't removed.
All right, then.
And that ain't right.
All right, then.
She is fine, by the way, again. And I led with that, just so you know, it's not a terrible story, but it's not great.
Mm-mm.
It's not what you want.
No.
It's not what you choose.
Mm-mm.
But doctors do recommend that if you have this, it's easier to diagnose and help the doctor quickly identify that it is this parasitic worm if you do take selfies along the way as it moves around your face and or body. So that's good advice for the listeners.
Right? Sure. Right.
Well, now we have to worry, like, oh, you have a bump under your eye. Could that be a worm?
And you're looking at it every single day to see if it move a little bit?
And then you get a zit over here. You're like, it moved over there. I mean, now I'm terrified. This isn't good.
This is a terrifying, horrible story.
For a Monday.
Right?
Oh, I missed the Christmas talk.
But see, but it's half Christmas, so that means how bad can it be?
Right.
It's a holiday.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee Show, shall we?
No, we shouldn't do it.
Brand new internet roundup on the program today. Another World Cup date. And Bean, you're gonna enjoy the fact that it includes Inside Edition tape.
Oh,
it's our favorite horrible reporting.
What did you think about that World Cup fever song we heard a little bit of in the open today?
Is that what it was? I couldn't tell what it was.
Yeah, it's World Cup fever.
No,
from like 20 years ago, a listener dug it up and sent it to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
Smashing Pumpkins will join us in studio.
What?
It's a secret, Kevin. It's a super secret band with a super secret announcement about a super secret show.
Well, it's still a super secret announcement about a super secret show.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But once the band goes on and starts tweeting about the fact that they're going to be on the Kevin and Bean Show, I feel like that part's not a surprise anymore.
You mean when they tweet that they're coming on at 7:15 and we've announced that there's a super secret show and we'll tell you about it at 7:15?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Maybe they're coming in to tell us who the band is. Did you ever think about that?
Plot twist.
Interesting. So Billy Corgan's going to go, it's not us.
Right.
Right.
But it's the band
Toad
we really
the
like.
Sprocket. Or whoever. I don't want to say that's them. I don't want to get everybody's hopes up.
Right, sure.
But I'm saying maybe that's how it works. So you don't know, man. Don't jump to conclusions.
Great news. We like to do on Mondays. Bean's obsessed with April the giraffe, who might be pregnant again. Whore. Right?
I mean, fifth.
Right?
Kid.
Take it easy.
We don't even know the dad yet.
No slut shaming here. April is a very nice woman who takes care of her baby giraffes.
Okay.
She's a giraffe. She's not a woman.
Well, she's a girl.
She's a girl animal.
She's a female.
All right.
And also Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons.
Wow.
The documentary that he has on HBO called Believer is awesome.
It's great.
It's really moving.
It's very sad and very uplifting.
Both,
and then
yes.
Very sad again, mm-hmm. And then uplifting. And then the end, you say, oh, what are we doing?
So we'll tell you about that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Wonder what that band's been up to, by the way.
Right?
One day we'll find out. Or in an hour and a half. It's coming up on K-Rock. It's Monday morning. Allie is here with her first look at what's happening. Good morning.
Well, no shock, you guys. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom did pretty well at the box office this weekend. They pulled in $150 million.
That's it? Only that?
That's pretty good, right? You saw it, Kevin?
I did.
Dinorific.
It's eye candy. Mm-hmm. Watching dinosaurs interact with people is fascinating.
Right.
And you just can't take your eyes off the screen. And then when you walk out, you go... That movie was kind of dumb, but sure enjoyed watching those dinosaurs.
Right?
Yep.
Sure do like them up there as
I'm watching
it. It was
really cool.
So not as much to advance the plot line or?
No, it's just them interacting with people, mm-hmm. But it was just people being incredibly stupid again
right.
And again
yeah.
And again.
Where like,
they go,
when will they learn?
Let's control these dinosaurs. This will work.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't work the first time. It hasn't since. It was ridiculous. Now they're loose in the world, though.
Okay.
So they're ready for another one.
Right.
And at the very end, can I give away a spoiler?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The very last scene after the credits,
mm-hmm.
There were like three dinosaurs that were circling over Las Vegas.
Just flying?
Yep.
Pterodactyls?
I don't know.
Or
probably.
A whole new group.
And then they landed on the Eiffel Tower at the Paris.
Oh, at the hotel.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I was like, wow, they flew far.
And it went dark and it was like, oh, man. So I'm ready for the next one as well, even though this is bad.
I mean, hasn't Vegas been through enough
right?
lately? Let's maybe let them have a break. Just saying. All right, so that was number one with $150 million. Incredibles 2, another $80.9 million. That's not bad in their second week. Good Lord.
That's a great movie.
That's amazing. Followed by Ocean's 8, Tag, Deadpool 2, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Hereditary, Superfly, Avengers Infinity War, still in the top 10. And then coming in at number 10, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Bean, have you seen that yet?
Hasn't opened where I live.
Oh.
But I sure will.
I was going to say, you're seeing RBG, you're seeing Pope movies.
Mm-hmm. But I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me.
Clip from the movie.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Yeah.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
It's a big season for documentaries, by the way. That's a 1-2-3 punch right there.
For you, yes.
Yes,
well, for anybody who enjoys compelling entertainment.
Well, sure. Or you.
Mr. McFeely came over here last night mm-hmm. and asked if he could do something fun for me.
Oh.
A kind of secret, he said.
Oh, don't keep secrets like that.
How about some make-believe about toes?
Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there.
All right. I mean...
Well, that's why it's rated R.
It is not.
Oh, it isn't. Okay.
And I say we leave it at that. And we congratulate Zsa Zsa. Do you know who Zsa Zsa is?
I do. I saw this morning.
Oh, wow.
Hideous.
There hideous dogs?
Yes.
Okay. She's from Minnesota. She won the title of 2018's World's Ugliest Dog in Petaluma, California on Saturday. She's a 9-year-old English bulldog. She was calm and cool during the contest, beat out other serious contenders like a Pekingese named Wild Thang. Zsa Zsa got a $1,500 prize and bragging rights for the next year. Now, Bean.
Mm.
You are a lover, an owner of the English Bulldog.
Correct.
The body was a little different. Like, what? It was just kind of more the, I don't even know. The torso was different and the hand stance.
It's difficult
blob. Blob
for
of
me.
Dog.
difficult for me to talk about this because of how I feel about animals.
Right.
But she was horribly abused.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And for 5 years, she lived in a crate where she did not have enough room to stand up.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, that would explain why her body's like that.
That is why her body's like that. Yes. So I'm so happy. Forget the world's ugliest dog. I'm so happy to see her with a forever family that loves her and will give her a great life for the rest of her life.
And world's ugliest dog, $1,500.
Right. Bragging rights.
Right?
Right?
I've never seen an English bulldog that's ugly. Never.
What about that tongue, though? Wait, that was a really long
Except
tongue.
Except for this one.
No, she's beautiful.
Do you have, you don't have the ugly cute category where they're ugly, but you love dogs and they're beautiful.
Oh, I do. Okay. I do, but I've just, but English bulldogs are all beautiful to me. Mm. I love the look of them. You know, it's just a question of a degree on how awesome they are. But,
mostly ugly to me.
But when you hear about, her backstory though.
Yeah, I mean, heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. So I'm happy to see her happy. That's all.
Do you think she knows? I think she knows she won.
Is it? Would you be proud of that?
I think if she knew she won, a little swagger, a little kick to her step, like walking around.
Mouthing off to other dogs.
Right? Like, check me out. 1500
She's a bitch.
I don't think that's what we're saying either. Guys, some real-life marriages that we're going to talk about in the community known as Game of Thrones.
Ah.
We're going to talk about that. Because I just don't think those people, knowing what I know about the show and weddings,
you're right.
Maybe you didn't want to be invited to this one, is all I'm
Good
saying.
Good point.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you. Some birthdays for you. Actress Busy Phillips, actress Linda Cardellini, actress Angela Kinsey, and comic Ricky Gervais. And that's what's up.
Here's a pretty good deal today, you guys. If you want to win a trip to Lollapalooza in Chicago, first weekend of August, every hour starting at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So at 10 a.m., 11, noon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you qualify for a grand prize drawing that Stryker will do every afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour and send somebody to Lollapalooza, including airfare, hotel, four-day passage to the festival. Kevin, you've been to Lollapalooza many times.
Oh, it's so great.
Chicago's a great city in the summertime.
Yeah, and the festival's in that park right on the water.
Yeah.
The water is on one side and all of Chicago is on the other. I stayed in a hotel that I could walk to. Back and forth. It was so great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Jack White on the bill this year at Lollapalooza. Imagine Dragons, Arctic Monkeys, Portugal the Man, Churches, Walk the Moon, and many, many more. So you qualify every hour starting at 9 a.m. And then Stryker does a grand prize drawing each day to send someone who qualified to Chicago for the show.
Sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. Smashing Pumpkins coming up later on today. First, April.
Yeah.
What's up with April?
Well, Allie did not share my enthusiasm when the news broke at the end of last week that April, the giraffe, might be pregnant again.
Right.
What about love? How did love die in your life? Because you can't find love, no one should be able to find love?
I mean...
It's a giraffe, first of all.
Yes. And I just wasn't one of those people that was watching 24/7 like you.
See, I think that's the problem, is people talked so much about April the giraffe. Last time,
right,
nonstop for what seemed like she was pregnant for 2 years.
Yeah, so much so I started denying she was even pregnant.
Oh yeah, you definitely were conspiracy alley on that.
I thought
the whole thing was made up by the zoo so they could sell plush toys.
Yeah, then I was an April truther.
Then she gave birth like a week ago. How is she already pregnant again?
That's what I'm saying.
We can't do this again.
She gave birth like, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Whatever. It feels like a week.
Actually, I take it back. I think it's been over a year since she gave birth.
No way.
I think it has been.
April 2017. Yeah.
Okay, it's been over a year.
Yeah.
So that's not uncommon for moms to start squirting out new babies after a year.
I don't know if squirting.
Hey, Christine, assistant producer Christine, please come in for this conversation because Christine was on the April tip as well. So here's the thing for folks who don't know. April lives in a place called Harpersville, New York. It's a tiny town in upstate New York, about 3,500 people. She lives in a little zoo there. And her pregnancy was live streamed, and when they started putting the camera up, they thought she was within, I don't know, like a month or something of having this baby.
They didn't realize it was a year and a half later?
They didn't realize that she was going to be pregnant on that goddamn camera for like 4 months until she finally popped.
Now, you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys checked back all day, every day.
Yes.
To see if there was any progress, and there wasn't.
Christine, were you like me and you just had it up on your browser all the time?
I had it up here at K-Rock. I had it on my phone. Mm-hmm. I had it on YouTube at home.
Okay.
I would check in and text with friends all day if I was away from any of those screens.
That's a little sad.
And
I would wake up in the middle of the night, and if I got up to pee, I would check on the April Cam just to make sure nothing was happening.
It ruined my life.
Right. I can see that. Did it ruin your life?
It did.
That's awful.
So, okay. So having said that.
Did it ruin your life, Bean?
No, I would loved it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But then I also have a lot less going on than Christine
does. Sure.
All right. So she had the baby, which was her fourth, by the way. And that little boy is now over 10 feet tall, by the way.
Oh.
And he is adorable. But the question is, Christine, and for all the other April fans out there, if she is pregnant again, and we don't know yet, they've got the test out right now to find out whether she's pregnant.
Have the cam up while they wait for the results of the test?
They do.
They already have it up.
Yes, they do have the camera. My question is, Christine, have you lived through it once and you don't need it again, or will you get sucked back into the excitement of the April cam and start watching it again?
I want to get sucked back in again, of course. I hate it.
Well, you don't have to, though.
I have to.
Well, you
I'm
don't.
Compelled to. That we have a monitor in the office, mm-hmm. and here, look, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but the guy who sits next to me, Dave the King of Mexico,
right.
and Bean, the three of us are probably the dumbest ones in the show that get sucked into every animal cam, eagle cam, uh-huh. bear cam,
right.
giraffe, April cam. We watch every single
now,
one of them.
What
Hawaii lava cam.
What kind of activity happened on the April cam on a normal day? Did she move around? Did
yeah.
she eat? Was there activity?
You would see she'd be sleeping and then there'd
and
be
then
a
you'd
trainer.
And then you check back in 3 hours and she'd be sleeping?
She's yeah.
sleeping.
And then a trainer would come in and she would interact and she was very sweet with her trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, April would look at the camera and you'd see her like, you know, I would imagine she was acknowledging us, but in reality, you know, she's just checking out what the thing in the corner was.
This just got really sad.
April,
did you think that she was looking at you?
Of course she was.
It was
a two-way street. Look, April loves her public, and she's good to her public.
Sure.
So the zoo announced we might have some exciting news. We've done a lot of watching, a lot of looking. We all have our opinions, but they're still not 100% sure that April the giraffe is pregnant. Now, is this a situation where we should be respecting her privacy at this delicate time? Because a lot of times you don't want to talk about these pregnancies.
She's a giraffe.
Yeah, but
right?
you don't want to. Isn't it just bad form to talk about a pregnancy too early? Like you should wait until we know for sure that everything
for
is
humans,
good?
Yes.
But don't we have enough people judging our bodies, forming opinions,
right?
just waiting to pounce?
Christine, I have a question for you that I have been unable to find the answer to, and that is, did she go back to Oliver for this baby, or playing the field a little bit and there's a new baby daddy in the picture?
Don't
what do you think?
No, now I got to know.
And
I'll
Oliver
go back
pissed? Because what's
I
Oliver going to do when he finds out?
Yeah, I would be.
I don't know. Now, I haven't had a chance to go to this zoo yet. Of course, I will, the Animal
sure.
Venture Park. But I don't know how many other giraffes they have there, how many other possible fathers there are at mm-hmm. the zoo, or if Oliver's, you know, all she's got. But she has had four.
Oliver's enough if he's all she's got.
She has had four, and a lot of people are questioning, you know, overpopulation. Do we really need another giraffe? I say let the woman live. That's what I say.
It's not a woman. It's a giraffe.
You know what I'm saying.
And I would like to say this. I love giraffes. They're an amazing animal.
You've made out with one.
I mean, not technically. fed it with food in my mouth.
We've seen pictures.
But,
yeah.
Will you post that on, on at Kevin Devine Instagram in about 5 minutes?
But I couldn't for the life of me watch this live stream.
Really?
No, not.
No. But what about the miracle of nature? What about how astonishing it is that this giraffe is walking around and then out of her hoo-ha, another giraffe falls to the ground out of nowhere?
Wait, that's how it works?
Yes.
Falls to the ground out of nowhere.
The giraffe
out of
gives birth standing
no
up is what I'm saying. Is the first second of that giraffe's life outside of the womb is hitting the ground. That's a tough way to come into the world, man. Isn't it? So
you're in for another
I am way in.
How long are giraffes pregnant? For real? I've been
apparently no one knows.
Really? Because I've been exaggerating by saying a year and a half, but it was a long time where people did.
I think
suck
it's like 15 months or something, Christine. Right?
It was a long time.
So let's say this is month one. You guys are in for another 15 months of.
No, I don't think we need. I don't think we need to watch the early months of the pregnancy. I think we need to watch as she starts to show. I think that's when we get invested.
Yeah. And the baby giraffes are so cute.
They are so cute.
But, you know, here's the thing. You can see the baby giraffe and probably the birth after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put zero time into it.
Why does everyone hate love but us, Christine?
I don't know.
That is, of course, Imagine Dragons and Believer. And Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons has a new documentary on HBO called Believer.
I think it airs tonight, if I remember correctly.
It does, yeah.
We're going to talk to him later on this morning about it. And it is a great, great movie.
It really is.
Also, Smashing Pumpkins coming in the 7 o'clock hour this morning with a big announcement. And what day is Warren G this week?
I think tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Warren G tomorrow. Yep. Brendan Urie later in the week from Panic at the Disco. I'm telling you, we got a lot going on right now.
Right?
We got a lot going on, including right now, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
I don't know how they continue to do it, but they continue to do it. America's most penis-shaped state is back in the news many times, so it's time for another round of What's Up with Florida. Kimberly Dunn, 35, accused of shooting her husband in the testicles, Kevin.
Oh, man, shooting her husband in the testicles.
Can you?
No.
Imagine.
No.
Is back in the news. This original story happened a few months ago. Her husband and her brother came to her Lake City home to pick up an air conditioning unit that she was trying to sell on Facebook. The couple was going through a divorce at the time, and I think there was a dispute over who really owned the air conditioner. She was trying to sell it for the money. He's like, no, that's my air conditioner. So they showed up. So Miss Dunn sat on the air conditioning unit to prevent the men from taking it. When her husband tried to get her off the AC unit, she tried to fend him off with a stun gun.
What's happening?
Then fired a round at her now ex-husband's testicles using a handgun. So she was loaded for bear when these two guys showed up for this air conditioner. She's sitting outside on the air conditioning unit with a stun gun in one hand and a handgun in the other.
And pointed at his crotch.
At
like
his
just
crotch.
Shooting him isn't going to be enough. It's got to be there.
Her husband's brother was able to restrain the woman and take his brother to the hospital. Police say her husband picked up the gun and brought it with him to the hospital. So the reason she is back in the news is she failed to show up for court, and now she is facing an additional charge of contempt of court. That story is the most Florida story ever, isn't it?
Also, I'd like to know how much the air conditioner went for, because it's probably very, very small.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what the medical outcome was from being shot in the balls.
It does seem like it might leave a mark.
Yes. Port Richey, Florida. This is a weird story. Look. I, like many people, am enormously frustrated and beyond that, terrified by the number of people that I see on the road who are driving while texting.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it wig you guys out when you encounter it all the time now?
It does seem like it's everywhere.
I hate it. Philip Macchio is an Uber driver. He's driving near State Road 52 on Friday when he noticed another driver texting while driving. So he decided he was going to show him what's up. He drove in front of the victim's vehicle. You'll find out why he's a victim in a moment. Tapped his brakes multiple times, trying to get this driver's attention. Trying to say, hey, maybe don't text while you drive.
I'm not sure a brake check is the way to do that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure it is either. So the other driver, the texter, drove around Mr. Macchio in an attempt to pass him. Then the Uber driver pulled out a gun and pointed a firearm at her.
She shot her in the balls?
Didn't shoot her, no. Doesn't have balls, no.
Okay.
He had a black Glock 19 in his center console with him in his Uber, by the way. He said he was annoyed that the other driver was texting and driving, and that's what he was trying to do, was try to show her.
Look, if you're annoyed, you're allowed to pull a gun.
I think that's the law.
In Florida. I think that's the law in Florida.
Sure.
It does sound like something that would be the law in Florida, doesn't it? So apparently he overreacted, I guess, is what I'm saying. They're both in the wrong here. Who's more in the wrong, though? The woman
him.
Who's driving and texting or the guy who pulls out the gun?
Him.
You'll
He's
never
causing
make it,
something.
You'll never make it as a Florida judge. All right. There's nothing funny about underage sex. All right? So don't misinterpret me bringing up 64-year-old Paul Amato, who responded to a sting online. He thought he was meeting an underage girl for sex. It turned out to be the police in a sting operation. The only reason I bring this story up is there are two problems that I have with this news report you're about to hear 8 seconds of. One is, Mr. Amato, know your audience. If you're going after a teenager, maybe don't dress up as an Elvis impersonator to meet her in the parking lot of a Lowe's.
No.
I don't know that there are going to be a lot of teenage girls that know who Elvis is or will be impressed by it.
And
I
also get naked.
And I also would like to say to the news anchor in this story, maybe this story of meeting a girl for underage sex is not the story to pull out the Elvis puns.
His desire for burning love with an underage girl is what investigators say led to the arrest of an Elvis impersonator in Brevard County.
Maybe leave the burning love comedy out of that report, okay?
I'm horny for you.
Okay. And finally...
Oh, yeah.
This is Largo, Florida. Police officers responded to a home on April the 8th after someone reported seeing a man smashing a mailbox. When they arrived at the home, they found William Timothy Anderson Thomas, who I think has too many names,
yep,
by the way.
Agreed.
25 years old, on the property, shirtless, covered in dirt. According to the arrest affidavit, a trailer tire had been flattened, a window on the house was broken, and a mailbox, a real estate sign, and a garden angel were completely destroyed. Police say that Mr. Thomas admitted to willfully and maliciously damaging the property. He stated that the reason was he had listened to too much music and masturbated too much.
What?
So he felt like going out and destroying stuff.
What?
I would think that masturbating too much would put you in a very calm mood.
Perhaps maybe you need a nap.
I would think so, too. This
maybe
is a
he's
very,
doing it wrong.
Right? This is a weird reaction. And I'm troubled to think how he could be doing it wrong. He was arrested and charged with burglary and criminal mischief and booked into the Pinellas County Jail with a bond set at $7,000. We'll have plenty of time to properly masturbate. And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Smashing Pumpkins are back, you guys.
Right?
New song on K-Rock. Band's coming in about 30 minutes or so to make a big announcement. Very exciting morning here at the program.
Agreed.
It's been a long time. Hey, Dave, King of Mexico.
What's up?
Nope.
I know you keep saying you're not going to get sucked into Mexico as your team for the World Cup, but they were so impressive over the weekend, even Kevin is starting to root for them.
That's scary.
That was very surprising
to me. That's
scary.
You were happy when you saw them score.
I was more surprised than anyone on the planet.
How far will they go, Kevin?
They're playing well together.
They are.
They're really doing well.
They are.
They could go.
Go where?
I mean, they could.
Go where?
Quarterfinal, semifinal, I don't know.
All right.
Final.
Well, it's very exciting. We do have another World Cup date coming up later on the program. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
It's a good batch of videos that you can find at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Fun with a remote-controlled alligator in this roundup. We got the world's worst sheepdog. By the way, that Will Smith video that was shot, the slow-motion videos, where did all these other kids come from that Will Smith has that I don't know about? Because none of them were Jaden or Willow, right?
Right.
Who are all these other kids he has?
That's what I thought, too. I thought I was the only one. I was like, that's not his son.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was with you guys.
That's so weird.
Like,
okay.
Oh, that's Allie, not Jaden.
Do you know? Do you have some background on where Will Smith got all these extra kids from?
I don't think they're his.
There's a guy with...
He says he was his son.
There's a guy with boxing gloves, and he hits him in the face, and then they shoot it with slow-mo camera. And we all looked at him and went, don't know that kid.
Yeah.
Who is he? All right, we do have some audio for you. By now, if you haven't seen Paul McCartney's Carpool Karaoke, you are a bad person. Because it is joy personified. James Corden from his late night American TV show did his program from London last week. And Paul McCartney was one of his special guests. And they went all around Liverpool to where Paul used to live and the pub he used to play at. And the smiles on the people's faces as Paul McCartney shows up. It was like watching Beatlemania all over again, was it? People are freaking out at this 76-year-old man. Here's a clip, and please go to the roundup and watch the whole video because it's worth it. But here's another clip of Paul McCartney and James Corden in the car.
You know, I wrote my first song when I was 14.
What was that?
It was called I Lost My Little Girl.
And how did it go?
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I woke up late this morning. My head was in a whirl. And only then I realized I lost my little girl. Her clothes were not expensive. Her hair didn't always curl.
This is a hit record.
It is, yeah.
Very different to my first song that I wrote with my band at school.
What was that?
It was called Girl, Are You Ready?
There's a girl involved. How did that go?
It went, girl, are you ready? Just tell me when you're ready. Girl, are you ready? I ain't gonna rush you. And then into a big dance break.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. It's very similar.
Yeah, James, it's not really similar.
The video series where the stars answer the internet's most Google searched questions about them is always interesting. And with Glow getting ready to come back on Netflix for season two, Alison Brie, who you know I love more than anyone in the world,
right,
is with her co-star Marc Maron, and they are talking about questions that people have asked about Alison Brie. By the way, she's so talented on everything she does, from Community to Mad Men to Glow. She's so beautiful. And this personality, who's better than Alison Brie, you guys?
Take it easy.
Dave Sanchez.
Seriously,
here's some of the questions that people have for Alison.
How did Alison Brie and Dave Franco meet?
We were introduced by a mutual friend at Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Mardi Gras?
That's all you need to know.
Wow. Were you drunk?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't Alison Brie?
Alison Brie balloons. I did not.
What does that mean? Is that a weight thing?
I did not balloons. No, because I can make balloon animals. I actually do think I know what this is related to, because I used to work as a clown for kids' birthday parties in my youth. And I can make balloon animals.
Didn't Alison Brie rap?
Yeah, I've rapped.
Yeah.
I used to rap on Community because I worked with Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, who was always making, like, real amazing music. So I would jokingly rap a lot, and then people wanted to make me rap all the time, similarly to the balloon animal thing, and I had to draw a line. Done it a million times. Google it. You'll find it.
Maybe you could do something integrating the two, like rap and
don't
then like
them
do
ideas.
A dog.
Can you imagine how terrible it would be to be a clown for children's parties?
Mm-mm.
I think we've talked about that before, but we may need to do that again.
But how awesome would it be to have Alison Brie as your clown?
I mean, of course.
I bet puberty would start early.
Look at that.
I bet for the parents.
Okay.
And finally, Regina Ballard is her name. She works at the North Lincoln High School in Lincolnton, North Carolina. What is her job, Allie? Were you able to figure out what she does?
I believe she's the school receptionist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she also does, apparently, announcements over the school loudspeaker system. And here it is at 3:15 on the last day of school recently. And she decided to treat the students with singing, and she changed some of the words around of the Etta James classic At Last to make it appropriate.
At last.
That's not the record, by the way. That's the receptionist.
Summer break has come along.
Right at that point, I pick up my books and I'm gone.
Yeah. You never hear the end of this song.
Nope.
All our long holidays are over. And life is like a song.
She's got a karaoke page up on her computer.
Oh, yeah. At last.
Now, is it my imagination or is she a really good singer?
She's good, but this is annoying.
This is a special treat for the kids on the last day of school.
Just let us go. Just let us.
We can spend our days in clover.
All right, I'm out.
Can we do that right now? Because you're still singing.
Because the school year's finally through.
Come on, Kevin.
The song's finally through, right?
Wow, tough room, you guys. Check out the videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Monday morning, that means, get ready for the reverb, would you?
Okay.
Monday morning, that means great news coming up just after the top of the hour. And then we welcome our special guests, the Smashing, don't need it there. Just
okay,
for the great news.
That was big too.
I don't know. So I feel like they deserve it.
Right?
Smashing Pump, again.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's great news.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Give it to me for great news and then not for Smashing. Okay. So coming up, we've got,
Do it again.
Both of those things are on the way here at K-Rec. First, though, Allie, what's happening on this Monday?
Guys, Kit Harington is off the market. The real-life Jon Snow.
Okay.
He got married over the weekend to Rose Leslie, who was also on the show as well for a couple seasons. They had a romantic ceremony at the bride's family castle in Scotland on Saturday. The celebrity guest
like
list
you do.
Yeah, included their Game of Thrones co-stars like Peter Dinklage, Maisie Williams, Sophie Turner, Emilia Clarke. But if you looked at Twitter over the weekend, a lot of people in the bushes. Literally
in the bushes
filming this. My favorite tweet is from a young girl named Megan. Not even being funny or anything, but this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Love watching Kit Harington and Rose Leslie's wedding from a bush.
What?
They were literally in the bushes of this castle, just recording them as they're walking by. Just what's going on in your
life?
What
security do they have, too?
Not
yeah,
great.
No kidding.
Is what I'm saying. A lot of people hanging out in bushes. Unbelievable.
So they, I assume, met on the show?
Sure.
And now they're married.
Yeah.
Nice souvenir from their time working together.
It's definitely a nice souvenir.
Souvenir?
Exactly.
Their marriage is a souvenir.
Hey, you know...
The gift of marriage mm-hmm. brings husband and wife together yeah. in the delight and tenderness of sexual union.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Is that something we could argue? I mean, really, that's why you get married, to finally bone, right?
Right, sure.
Read that somewhere. You know I like to bring you these stories only to use this service's jokes that they also incorporate into the story as well.
These are suggestions that they want Allie mm-hmm. to use and pass off as if they're hers.
Right. All right. Ready for the story?
Yep. Can't wait.
Well, congratulations to Brigitte Nielsen. She welcomed her fifth child to the world at the tender age of 54 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. People is reporting that little Frida made her grand arrival last Friday in Los Angeles. This is the first kid for her and her husband, but Brigitte does have four adult sons from previous relationships. And the baby's first words? Grandma. Because, see, she's old.
Oh, wait, that was the joke?
That was the joke. Yeah.
Okay.
Baby's first words were grandma.
Rodney on the Rock, and I want a hand of applause.
All I'm saying is there are people around the country that are using these.
Yes, correct.
And they're passing them off as their own jokes. And then Chuckle Steve will go, and then
I'm
it's
be
real
Chuckle
fun.
Steve.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
You want me to try it again?
Here's what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. I want you to try and work in one of those jokes mm-hmm. seriously
so,
into one story.
Okay.
Or like one, maybe the rest of today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we have to figure out which one it is.
Not a problem.
Okay.
How is that funny?
See, there you go. Remember we were talking about there's no way this whole Nick Jonas, Priyanka Chopra dating thing is real.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It's just not even possible.
Well,
right?
Kevin won't allow it.
It's just not possible because I have next.
I don't think you can call next.
Thought that's how it worked.
No, not even a little bit.
Okay.
But things are apparently very serious because she took him home for dinner. And by home, over 9,000 miles away, she brought him to India to meet the parents.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
You guys,
wow.
Yeah, that's serious, right?
I would think so.
Ooh. Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra.
It just isn't somehow right.
It doesn't really make sense, but I enjoy it. Is it weird that I read the story and I immediately thought, I would love to ask the Smashing Pumpkins about this? NME.com says that Ed Sheeran had to stop his stadium concert in Cardiff, Wales twice on Friday night so he could go use the men's room. He said, quote, I've been gigging since I was 14, and I've never done that, and now I'm doing it in front of 60,000 people. Three songs later, he had to go again.
Oh what a disaster.
Ed.
To be on stage, and then you're thinking...
And then have to be like, I need to poop.
While you're performing,
yes.
You're thinking, do I just... go after the song?
Right? Or? Can I make it through the song? Oh, my God. That is, like, my worst nightmare.
It's about night. Like, the whole moon down about night. And it should be bright out. And could anyone go up in the mountains about night, sure?
That's what he had to say about it?
Right?
Yes. Ed's remarks.
That's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
And it's one of the main reasons, A, I don't run.
Okay.
Because you could poop at any time. And
you do have some control over that, but go ahead.
I don't
Not
know.
If you have, like, IBS or something, and maybe that's where Ed Sheeran's at.
Oh, that's awful.
That is awful.
What if he like had cheese or something that night, and then he's like, it'll be fine. This cheese doesn't affect me. And then he's in the middle of just a love song, and it's gurgle, gurgle. Oh,
you think
all
he
I'm
ran,
saying,
or did he? Was he calm enough to walk off stage?
I feel like maybe he walked to the side of the stage and then just ran. As soon as he was out of.
And what happens while he's gone? Does the band just vamp?
That's what I'm
saying. Or do
they
just sit there and just wait for him to come back?
I assume they would vamp.
You would.
Yeah, I would hope so. Everybody's not just going to sit there in silence waiting for Ed to come back and perform.
Like, talk amongst yourselves.
How'd that go?
Oh, poor guy. Anywho. Huh? Did it for Kevin. Yeah. Some birthdays for you. Busy Phillips, Linda Cardellini, Angela Kinsey, and Ricky Gervais. And that's what's happening.
Smashing Pumpkins in 10 minutes. First, the grand prize winner. Last week, we were giving you tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars.
Hold on, gotta wait for the big intro here. Hold on.
Okay.
So this is the deal where we gave away tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars for the local show, and then you were qualified for the grand prize drawing to see them again in San Francisco, round trip airfare and hotel included.
Right.
Okay. And the winner is?
Keisha.
Oh, hang on.
Every Keisha is free right now.
Keisha,
okay. Hold on, here we go. Here we go.
Keisha.
Hold on.
Okay.
Almost there.
Congratulations, too.
Hold on, big finish. Big finish. Here we go. Now, Kevin.
Oh, Keisha Guerrero from Laverne. Keisha Guerrero from Laverne. Congratulations.
All right, well done. Smashing Pumpkins in studio with this coming up next. First, though, how about some great news?
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't ready.
How could
I wasn't ready that time.
Great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, my great news starts. An 83-year-old husband took matters into his own hands when his wife became unable to apply her own makeup due to her deteriorating eyesight. So her eyesight was going bad. She couldn't put her own makeup on. So she was going to a birthday party, and she needed her makeup done, so she went to a professional and got her makeup done, and her husband went with her. Mm-hmm. And he paid attention, and he took the brushes from the artist that was doing her makeup, and he was learning how to put on her makeup.
Aww.
So that he could do it for her at home. He told the morning show that her eyesight in her left eye was really bad. He added that she also had trouble holding the brushes. And he'd offer to make small corrections when she was attempting her own makeup. Mm-hmm. So if she made mistakes or something, maybe she didn't see, he would correct it.
Right.
And then as it got worse, he decided that he would go back and take more lessons that he could put on her makeup for her and like she likes it.
He's got a girlfriend on the side. This is some way serious overcompensating.
That is a man that knows what for better or for worse means.
I don't know. It says he got lesson after lesson after lesson.
Come
and it sounds
on.
Like maybe he's in love with a makeup artist.
Yeah, it does sound like it. It's a good point, Kevin. I think we both drew the same conclusion here. There's something fishy about this.
There's a sweet Instagram photo that I will re-Instagram in a couple of minutes. But Des Manahan, 83 years old, is my great news.
That is so sweet. My great news comes to you from a flight from Boston to LAX. It happened on Alaska Airlines. This is because a woman named Lynette Scribner was kind of paying attention, watching this gentleman in the airport. He was with his sister, and it appeared that he was both blind and deaf. She was watching her signing into his hands to feel the words. So they wound up being on the same flight, and they were in the same row. And the gentleman that had the aisle seat graciously gave up his seat to this man. Turns out his name is Tim. And the flight attendants really wanted to help him, but they just had no idea how to communicate with him. And she said she watched as they didn't flinch when he reached out to touch their faces, their arms, any way that he could kind of get across what he wanted to. So then somebody said, why don't you put out over the PA, does anybody know sign language? So they did that. And that's when 15-year-old Clara Daly appeared. 15-year-old girl from Calabasas, California, who came up and she learned ASL because she had dyslexia and she thought maybe this would be the easiest foreign language for her to learn. For the rest of the flight, she attended to Tim, made sure every one of his needs were met. The woman said it was just so fascinating to watch. Every time she would sign one letter at a time into his hands and he was able to read her signing, and they just carried on an animated conversation on this plane. It's called tactile signing. And this woman was just observing how everyone from the man that moved his seat that then helped him with the creamer and his coffee to the flight attendants to this woman, she said, I don't know when I've ever seen so many people rally to take care of another human being. And I just think that is beautiful and lovely. And 15-year-old Clara Daly, who made this man's whole flight.
Do you think the rest of the people on the flight were like, yap, 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 for God's sakes, quiet down?
It doesn't make any noise to sign.
Okay. Just checking.
Kevin Ryder.
I'm asking a question. I'm asking a question.
Holy, that's my freaking great news.
And finally, I was surprised by a number of things in this article in National Geographic, including the fact that a local fisherman from the Indian city of Kollam is named Xavier. Like, I wouldn't have expected anyone in India to be named Xavier, but Xavier Peters is a fisherman there in India. And he noticed, as many have around the world, that the ocean has gotten more and more polluted over the years. In fact, when he goes out fishing, he pulls in more plastic than he does fish anymore.
Ooh.
And it's a terrible tragedy what's going on with our oceans. So for the longest time, he was doing like all the other fishermen in the area were doing, which is he's just throwing the plastic back. And then he thought, this is dumb. Why am I doing that?
Why would he throw the plastic back?
Because he's out there looking for fish.
Right.
So what's he supposed to do with all the plastic? Load up his boat with it and take it to shore and then do what with it, right? Well, that's eventually what he decided to do is he said, this is ridiculous. I'm just contributing to the problem by throwing the plastic back. I am going to start taking it to shore. He worked with other fishermen in the sea there in near their village in India to start doing the same thing. Every day when they hauled in their lines with fish, they would take all the plastic out and take it back. Well, they have collected 65 metric tons of trash out of the ocean. 65 metric tons. And Mr. Peters started urging local government agencies to help, and they managed to create the first ever recycling center in the region. Now, they take all of that plastic and as much trash as they can, and they recycle it into lots of things, including selling it at a profit to construction crews that they then use to build roads with.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess, you know, this isn't a warm and fuzzy story like yours, but this is a story where one guy looked at a problem and said, I'm just one guy. What can I do? And then he thought, you know what? I can do something. And word spread. And now all up and down that coast in India, more and more fishermen are participating in the efforts. And it's just a win-win for everybody. The water gets cleaner. They got all this recycling stuff. They're making money off of it. And it's just great for the environment and great for the people who live there. I just think that's...
No.
Nope, not yet. I just think that's a neat story of just one person figuring out a way to change the world. And that's my great news. They're back, you guys, with new music, with a new tour, and back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Smashing Pumpkins. Hey, boys.
Welcome back.
Hello.
There are so many of you. So many pumpkins.
Yes.
Noticed. That was a good start. Let's see. So, Billy, you're here, right?
I'm here.
James?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Jeff?
Present.
Jack?
Hello.
All right.
Jack's a little bit further back, but okay.
Yes, he is. They're all here. Well, this is very exciting, guys. First of all, welcome back to K-Rock. I was trying to imagine, Billy, the first time we would have talked to you on the Kevin and Bean Show, it would have to be very close to 25 years ago we first met you, which makes us all old men. But you are still out there. You're still doing it. How do you feel about this?
I'm a young man.
That's what he meant.
It's great. I mean, I'm happy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that this is probably a tour that you, for many years, probably never thought would happen, right?
Yeah. No, I was pretty sure we wouldn't. After the last album we put out, Jeff and I thought we were done. So I'm just as surprised as anyone and pleased that we're having a good time.
Yeah.
Was it you getting back together with James that sort of helped this process come together?
You know, I think it's hard to put things in context because we live in this hyperbolic kind of clickbait world. But, you know, our issues were really more familial, you know, like family issues, and where we didn't see eye to eye on sort of how things would go.
Mm-hmm.
Music was never the issue with us, and that's why we always were productive as a group. So once we kind of repaired that part of things, and it just seemed simple to go back to making music.
How do you repair that type of thing? You just have to sort of come clean and say, here's what I'm still upset about?
I think we just, I don't know, I don't want to speak for James, but James? I think we were like, whatever was in the past is in the past, and let's just move on. And that's why, I mean, it's like kind of sometimes, I think people would understand it, like you have those moments in your family where you look at your uncle or your brother or something, you say, look, it's, I care more about you than I care about the thing that bothered me.
Right.
And eventually you just say, I'm just going to let this go. And it doesn't matter, like the details and who said what. It's just move on. And
amen to that, by the way. I think a lot of people should do a lot more of that instead of walking around carrying grudges all the time.
I certainly didn't help me, you know.
Yeah. James, let me ask you from your perspective. I mean, you were as surprised as Billy was that you two found common ground and started working together again?
We had dinner in Beverly Hills.
That'll right? do it.
And?
And
is that the end of the story? Or?
And it was delicious.
No. I reached out to Billy and, you know, we just met up for dinner and, you know, we're...
Was that easy?
No.
Was Billy paying?
No, but it I don't remember the... I don't remember who paid, but... No, it wasn't easy, but once we actually got together and sort of dropped, you know, I don't know, any sort of awkwardness about
mm-hmm.
the past and whatever, and that we could be friends from, you know, that point on and, you know, appreciate the band and everything, it was easy.
That's a lot easier said than done, though. Do you think it's easier to do because it had been so long?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No. I was nodding my head. Yeah, I think time helped.
And when you get together, I'm sure you all think back to how many great times you had throughout the year, the many, many years, and the wonderful experiences you all shared together. I mean, you guys were on a rocket ride.
Jimmy was giving the thumbs up about all those good times.
Right? All those good times.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about right now.
All right, so let's talk about the state of the Pumpkins in 2018. So you decided you were going to make a song, and then it just was too fun, and you couldn't help but make a bunch of songs, right?
It's kind of Rick Rubin's fault, because we played him 8 songs, hoping he would pick one, and he picked all 8.
Pick 9.
So you said, hey, this is a group of songs we've written. Pick one, and we'll make it a single, and that'll be our comeback.
Yeah,
and he said, no.
Let everyone know we're going to tour, and you know, pretty basic stuff.
Right. And he said, no, I like all 8?
Yeah, I was beyond shocked.
I said we should just do the one.
He did.
Even
honest.
After Rick Rubin said that,
you're
like,
honest, yeah.
Let's not do those other 7.
But isn't the word on Rick, though, that he's usually super picky about the songs that he'll let you do?
I've worked with Rick before, and so that's mm-hmm. why I was so shocked. I thought he was going to be picky, and I wanted him to be picky.
That's so why you work with him.
Yeah, I did last solo record with him, and we worked with him in 1998, actually did a song. So, and he's notorious for being, you know, if he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it. There's no way you're going to talk him into it.
Right.
Right.
So when is that coming out?
Oh, the rest of it?
Yeah, the rest of it.
It's confusing because now that now that we've got these eight songs that we didn't expect to have, they've kind of set a schedule, like there's another single coming soon and maybe another video. You know, it's all this kind of modern
boring life.
Thank you. I'm trying to make something that's not
nobody
exciting.
Nobody wants
exciting.
To know about how people actually release music. Let's just move on.
To finish my statement.
Sorry.
It's fine. No.
The band's going to break up again.
Oh, man. Get back to Beverly Hills.
You just saw it right there. That's where it all went wrong. At the end of the year, there's going to be some sort of, you know, you get to get all the songs together, like a vinyl record or something.
Bundle.
Okay.
A bundle.
And the plan for this tour, though, was you're going to be doing a lot of the hits, right?
Well... Kevin Weatherly and I would disagree what hits are, but yeah.
He's our boss here at K-Rock.
We decided with James coming back that we wanted to sort of refocus everyone on, because the last few years have been, you know, different lineups, everything. So it's like, look, this is the band that three of us were in together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so let's start there, keep it real simple, and get off to a good start. And then, you know, hopefully pivot to making new music. We are, playing new music on the tour. It's not exclusively.
Great.
But I think by saying, look, we're just going to focus on the five records that we made together and not ask everyone to go along for a journey that many people we know didn't go on.
Right.
I think it just keeps it simple.
Now we need to take a break. The Smashing Pumpkins are here. Tell us about Solara, because we're going to play it in a few minutes.
Well, this is one of the eight that Rick picked. And, I don't know, just good old-fashioned rock and roll. Nihilistic lyrics, a bleak outlook for the future, and a good rock riff.
That's what we look for, right? All right, so we'll play the new single, and then we have to unveil the big announcement about what the Pumpkins are doing in town this week and start giving away tickets to it as well when we return right after this on K-Rock.
That is new music from Smashing Pumpkins on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
That's real good, you guys. That is real good, that song.
Thank you.
When you, first of all, Smashing Pumpkins in studio was here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So much has changed since the last time you guys worked together. For instance, there's not much of a record industry anymore. Do you have and do you need a label at this point with the way the music industry is, Billy?
Yeah, there's still a reason to work with a label. Because I think good labels these days do know how to navigate what is a constantly changing landscape as far as how to put a record out. So I'm still happy to work with people if they're in the modern world. We definitely can't deal with the old school BS. Mm-hmm. By the late '90s, it was already getting pretty wonky. So
yeah. Does it make it easier to do this now or harder to do this now?
Which part?
The whole industry changing so dramatically in the last 10 years.
I think what's really encouraging, and you know, you see it with some of the young rock bands that are coming up, I think kids are starting to discover the power of rock and roll music again, because it's something that can't be manufactured. It really has to come from basements and garages and stuff like that. And I think now that we've had these 15, 20 years of sort of ubiquitous pop, you know, like a storm cloud just sits over everything. I think those clouds are starting to part a little bit, and kids are starting to want music that represents how they feel.
Oh, I hope you're right so much.
I see a lot of encouraging. I see a lot of encouraging signs, and so I don't want to say we've been proven right, because we did. You know, we did a lot of dumb things, but I think the things we represent, which is, you know, our relationship and our willingness to make new music and try new things, I think that fits really well with what's coming.
I also think that in 2018, the fact that you guys can go into a studio this afternoon and have a song on streaming services available to everybody in the world tomorrow morning is amazing, as long as you don't mind not getting paid for it.
We never thought we were going to get paid for it in the beginning. So I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying it's not really why we make music.
Right. The world has changed a lot in the last few years, and particularly in the last year and a half. Does any of that make its way into your songs?
Are you talking about politics? Or?
Yeah, state of America and the way American people have changed, it seems like, too.
Well, I think you have to be careful, because the minute you talk about politics these days, people try to push you in a corner. And as somebody who's like a true libertarian, my concern is that everybody has a seat at the table and everybody feels empowered by our by our democratic systems, our social systems. And, you know, I mean, to be, make it personal for a second, when we first started the Smashing Pumpkins, people would point out that James was Asian.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They would point that out?
All the time. Like, why? Literally, people would say, what's it like to be an Asian in a band?
Oh, my gosh.
What a question is that?
And then we would get, what's it like to be a girl in a band?
Sure.
So, point being is that, so we've lived through the changing times, and I think, again, similar thought to the musical thing, I think people are starting to really look for solutions that sort of cross the political divide, because we're getting so divided. It's like, I don't want to say it's silly, because we're talking about a lot of really serious and important things, but I think there's a real human desire to want to figure out how to not be so heated.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like it does bring out the worst in both sides when you start talking politics.
Well, selfishly and from a creative standpoint, sometimes the most turbulent times make for the best music, and I'm not trying to be silly about that.
Right.
I'm not saying, hey, it's great, the world sucks, so we can make greater tunes. What I'm saying is sometimes artists have to step into the breach and create a kind of a communication that brings people together. I learned so much from people like Marvin Gaye and James Brown and Sly and the Family Stone, you know, because my background was, you know, sort of white middle class. Mm-hmm. And I learned about things that maybe I would have never understood, or reading, you know, Miles Davis's biography and the racism that he encountered. So music has a way of really sort of kind of leading the charge. Music and sports traditionally in America, at least it's, you know, in the last 50, 70 years, maybe even 100, have helped kind of lead the way. And so maybe this is a time now where artists need to step forward and maybe find a better unifying message. And
well, we could all use it. I'll tell you that. I hope that's the case. All right, let's talk about this week a little bit. So you guys are in town. We're very limited as to what we are allowed to say, but you're planning a super secret show. I can say Wednesday night, right?
That's what you can say.
You are authorized.
Yeah. I can say Wednesday night. You'll allow it. At a very small venue.
Can I just say the venue's name?
I mean,
well, you cannot.
Look,
it's up
to you.
You're not authorized.
We're never going to yell at you guys.
To play at...
You always want to play the venue. Okay.
Ralph's.
Did you say Ralph's?
Ralph's Deli. Is it Barney's Beanery, James? Barney's Beanery.
They're
going to
be playing Barney's Beanery.
Right. So tickets are going to go on sale for this? Is that true?
Yes.
You are going to sell some tickets for it, and we are going to give away the rest.
Correct.
Fantastic.
All right.
It's a great venue.
It's a great venue. All right.
Historic.
We are going to give away those tickets in
Barney's Beanery
in two ways right now on the Kevin Beach Show. First of all, five callers, 20 through 24 at 1-800-520-1067. You will win tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins this Wednesday night at a Ralph's supermarket. Or another location that we can't name.
Right.
All right. So you can call now, 1-800-520-1067. And do we have beer mug out on the street as well?
We do. Mugs.
Hey, guys. Did you guys know James was Asian?
Until Billy mentioned it, I'd never even thought about it.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Now, mugs, don't suck, because we're on with the band. They're here and they can hear you too. So what are you doing? Where are you?
We are located at 6600 Topanga Canyon Boulevard in the beautiful Woodland Hills, California, Topanga Plaza, and we are giving away tickets to that secret show where we can't mention where it is.
Okay. Right. And how do people win those? They stop by and do what?
Hanging out by the Kevin and Bean Janky van, and okay. I'm going to make them earn it. I haven't figured out. Maybe make them sing a song.
Oh, I like that you haven't figured it out yet. That's good work.
do a dance, you know, but they're going to have to earn these tickets, because this is a very special Smashing Pumpkins show.
It is. All right. Location one more time, Muggs.
6600 Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Woodland Hills.
All right. That's the Westfield Shopping Center right there, and Muggs will be out there for about the next 30 minutes or so. All right. Thank you, Muggs. Smashing Pumpkins, anything else you want to leave us with? I'm sure we'll see you again and see you again soon, I hope. But anything else you want to announce or spread the word on or put in our heads or what? Or spoil?
Just the name of the venue.
Can't do it. Look, we're not making you keep it a secret.
Should we break news about Jack's father's dust-up?
Oh, no.
Oh, is there a dust-up?
Yeah,
please.
That's good. Let's bring Jack to the microphone.
Please, Jack.
Bass player, Jack Bates.
Introduce yourself, tell him who your dad is, and tell him about the dust-up.
Yeah, my father's a musician. He was in
legendary musician from Joy Division and New Order.
He got in a fist fight.
I believe so. Obviously, I wasn't there, but I've heard about it secondhand.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Got in a fist fight.
At the show, yeah. He got into the crowd and got into it with someone.
I got to be honest. I'm envious. That's kind of.
I kind of respect that as well. My dad doesn't get in any fights anymore.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. See, and that's something for you to strive for. That when you get to be his age, you can still be getting in fights in the crowd.
Yeah, if I'm scrapping at 62, that'll be cool.
You'll be happy.
Sure. That's awesome. I love it. All right, guys, a real pleasure to have you by here today. It's great to see you. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to Wednesday. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Smashing Pumpkins, everybody.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
If it went by too fast and you missed it, here's where Beer Mug is with the Kevin and Bean Janky Van. He is at the Westfield Topanga Mall on Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Canoga Park, and he'll be there for about 20 more minutes or so. It sounds like he's going to make you dance or sing.
He doesn't know yet. So
it's not like he figured it out yet. But if you are a Pumpkins fan, swing on by. Beer Mug is going to be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to see the Pumpkins at an intimate Hollywood venue this Wednesday night. It was nice of those guys to come by, too. I enjoyed that. All right, 7:54, World Cup date coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
So does it say where the venue is on the tickets?
I don't know.
So you're saying the word will be out as soon as Muggs hands out the first.
Right.
We don't have that information.
Unless they're, you know, putting your name on a list.
Look, we thought that the whole thing was a secret.
Right.
Until the Smashing Pumpkins last night tweeted that they were going to be on the show. So that's, we learned that way.
Okay. Got it.
So good times.
But it is Wednesday night.
Yes, it is.
Somewhere.
Hollywood.
Or is it?
It is. It's Wednesday night.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Real sad news. Don't know what is happening with Heather Locklear, but she was arrested last night on suspicion of battering a police officer and emergency personnel.
I thought she was still in the hospital from last week.
Yeah, she was in the hospital last week, hospitalized for psychiatric evaluation. Apparently, she was out, but she was arrested late last night, booked early this morning. That's according to the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. She's held on $20,000 bail, scheduled to make her first court appearance on Tuesday.
She seems like a mess.
Yeah, things are not good right now for her. This is news I saw over the weekend, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. Do you remember when the Alexas would just start laughing randomly?
Yes.
Just people sitting there watching TV, and then all of a sudden Alexa would just do a maniacal laugh. I thought that was terrorizing and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? On Monday, June 18th, a man in San Francisco named Sean Kinnear, just hanging out, decided that he was going to walk to his kitchen when all of a sudden he heard Alexa talking. What did she say? Oh, just this sentence. Every time I close my eyes, all I see is people dying. He said he was horrified and and then asked Alexa to repeat the statement, and she responded, I don't understand.
Wow.
Alexa.
Guys, this is some HAL 9000 crap.
This is super weird. So I posted that on Twitter and then in an Instagram story, and I got a response from a woman. I'll just say her name is Lori. I won't give the rest of her handle.
Okay.
But she said this. My boyfriend logged on to his sister's Alexa, and you can program sayings at certain times. At first, it was just silly things like, call your mom, she misses you. Then after a week, he graduated to, I'm becoming self-aware.
Oh,
so it's really easy to mess with.
Awesome.
So now, I think we need everyone to log into their Alexa, make it say something super creepy, and record your family's reaction. This needs to happen.
I like it.
Right?
It's a good plan.
I didn't know you could do that.
I
you
didn't
can
either.
Make her say things no like idea. Little updates.
On a timer. That's great.
But who did that to poor Sean Kinnear in San Francisco? Every time I close my eyes, all I see is people dying.
That's wow. Amazing.
That's crazy. So I don't know if that's what happened to him, someone just messing with him, or if basically Alexa is going to kill us all.
Well, the one thing I know is that you, if they paid you $1,000 a day to have an Alexa in your house, you wouldn't do it.
I have said that since they came out. What are you people doing with that in your home? It's spying on you nonstop. Your Roombas are mapping out your house, giving that to who, God knows who, the Russians. I don't know.
The Russians need the floor plant in your house.
Okay. I'm saying someone needs it. Otherwise, why else would the Roomba be doing it? Guys.
I'm sorry. That story from a few weeks ago where a family's conversation was taped and recorded, remember, and then sent to a different person.
Emailed to some random person on their email list. Alexa, come on, guys.
Alexa is evil.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Alexa can't be controlled, I'll tell you that. I mean, I don't know that they intentionally are making her evil, but there's they definitely cannot get it to do only what it's supposed to do.
Alexa, lemon party.
Alexa, say, I am evil.
Alexa, Pornhub. All right, that'll keep you busy.
All right. People everywhere so mad at us right now. Oh, goodness. Well, coming up, maybe some really good Star Wars news or just another rumor.
Mm.
But I'm saying, if it's true, it's good.
Love it.
Some birthdays for you. Actresses Angela Kinsey, Linda Cardellini, Busy Phillips, and comic Ricky Gervais. And that's what's happened.
I know this is hard to believe because Smashing Pumpkins was just in here and then left, but Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons joins us this hour as well.
Oof.
What a show, you guys.
A great documentary called Believer that's on HBO.
It does give you a lot to think about, that's for sure. Anyway, that'll be coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on KROQ. First, though, time for another Kevin World Cup Date.
World Cup Dates. We're going to talk about the World Cup. World Cup Dates. We're going to let you know what it's up.
Going to talk some soccer and some people call it football.
World Cup Dates
is on the air.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right. Now, the beautiful thing about the World Cup Date is this is for people who don't even care about the sport, right?
Yeah, we're not really talking about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stories that sort of involve the World Cup. The first one I wanted to bring up was, remember the conversation we had last week about the fans of Mexico chanting the anti-gay slur and how everybody was trying to figure out how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were having that discussion, like, is it possible to change an entire stadium?
Well, they did fine the Mexico team $10,000 after the first game because the the crowd was chanting it, and they hoped that that might be enough. But
here's what I will tell
you. What happened?
They played Saturday against South Korea. Didn't hear it once.
Really?
Whoa. Because they also threatened to throw out any fan that was caught using it, throw them out of the World Cup, to take away their actual credentials, their passes. Yeah.
Wow.
So it didn't happen once.
Huh.
Not one time during the entire game. I was listening for it.
And
odd, but
and apparently the Mexico team didn't need it because they won without it.
They did, yeah.
Handily.
Mexico looks great.
Yeah.
I took a lot of hate.
Uh-huh.
Because strangely, I was happy when Mexico won.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by that myself because before the World Cup, Landon Donovan and different people came out and said, hey, you know, maybe Mexico should be your team. And I was like, not in a million years. No possible way.
Yeah.
100% against it.
Yeah.
And then they scored, and I was excited, and I was like, oh.
You posted that goal, and my reaction was, whoa, why has nobody told me that these players are so hot? And then I felt so stupid, because every comment was, Ali, he plays in L.A.
He does.
He's a local player right here in Los Angeles. Well, let me tell you, he is handsome.
And there's also two of them that play for the Galaxy as well. So,
sure,
so that's,
sure.
That's, you know, what I was excited about. Now, Bean, the second story is kick-kick.
Kick-kick, yeah.
Where does this come from, and why does it exist, and why are you so excited about it?
Because we've been complaining that there are very rarely great World Cup songs. I mean, look, we've got ours.
World Cup.
But where's the anthem that unites the whole world? This isn't it, I'll tell you that. There's a TV show for kids in Britain called Hey Dougie, and they teach kids how to read and how to identify objects, like some of the PBS shows we have here. And they had a song called Stick Stick. Well,
let me just say this. Holy crap, this is annoying.
It'll get in your head. I'll tell you, you'll be thinking about this melody the whole rest of the day.
Ugh.
So they updated it with a new video for the World Cup, and they call it Kick Kick. So here is, and this is apparently a sensation in Britain right now, as the England team looks great.
It's not a sensation in Britain.
Kick Kick is everybody's favorite song right now, and
it's
you're about to find out why.
Kick, 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 kick.
there's a bunch of different, you know, characters on the screen jumping up and down and kicking a ball. And
And
that's just sort
pretty
of...
pretty damn good, right?
Do we need this?
No.
Finally, there's a World Cup anthem we can all get behind.
That is the most annoying thing I've ever heard.
Oh, until later on today when you're driving home and all of a sudden you start tapping your finger on the steering wheel going, kick, 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 kick.
I'm going to be angry at you for that. And finally, there is a story out of Argentina of drug dealers who are using some of the merchandise, the fake World Cup statues, to move drugs.
Oh.
And they got caught. As if Argentina's ever going to actually win a World Cup again, especially not this year. But they got caught. And here's the report from, is Inside Edition the worst offender?
It's the best.
They're my favorite, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, so here's the report from Inside Edition.
As World Cup mania grips the globe, some drug traffickers weren't playing fair when they allegedly tried to use the event to hide their illegal activities.
First of all, I love the music that's underneath it. And I love her work. Playing fair, as if drug dealers usually do.
Right. They play by the rules,
right.
Kevin.
But this is so out of context for them.
Authorities in Argentina pulled a red card.
No!
Oh, dear.
Authorities in Argentina pulled a red card.
I don't think they did, though.
When they say they seized marijuana and cocaine that were being smuggled in fake World Cup trophies. They also confiscated crack cocaine, cash, firearms, and vehicles from the Narcos de la Copa, or drug cups.
I got to tell you, they look like the cheapest thing you've ever seen. They were like taped together, so janky. Mm-hmm. Like how did they think they would pass
customs
or anything? Because they just would jam them full of drugs, and they were broken apart at times because it was just crappy, you know, workmanship.
I mean, what it looked like was, hey, I'm trying to smuggle drugs. Check me out. That's what it looked like.
Right.
Who allegedly took advantage of the World Cup's merchandising boom to move their drugs without raising suspicion. 4 men and 2 women were arrested. It's a score for Argentina's Ministry of Security.
It's a score, you guys.
Why does this lady talk like this?
It's
too?
A score for Argentina's security.
Who called the suspects merchants of death, adding they shouldn't be admired.
Okay.
Oh, the merchants of death shouldn't be admired.
So merchants of death, negative.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a negative.
Yeah. We don't want to admire them.
Okay.
Unlike the soccer stars from around the world who are gathered in Russia to make their home countries proud.
All except for the Argentina players.
For InsideEdition.com, I'm Mara Montalbano.
I don't know her name, but I love her.
Mara.
Mara Montalbano.
Guy who wrote that song.
Those
on the
songs.
Phone.
Yes.
He's on the phone right now.
Right.
Hey, Dan Reynolds.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much. Very excited to have you today of all days because your documentary Believer premieres tonight on HBO at 8 o'clock. This is a movie that is very important, and we are urging our listeners to definitely watch it. I was stunned to see in the film, Dan, that in your state of Utah, your home state of Utah, the leading cause of death for teenagers is suicide.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty
just,
devastating. And then on top of that, you have, yeah, it's heart-wrenching. And then LGBTQ youth are 8 times more likely to take their life and not accept it in their home or community. So you kind of put those two statistics together, and Utah being one of the highest suicide rates in the nation, it's just, you know, something has to give, something has to change.
And your something has to give, something has to change in part is what led you to say, hey, I need to spread this message. We need to talk about what's going on here, and that's why you made the movie.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I've heard over the years people say, well, the suicide rate has gone up 3 times, 4 times in Utah. Well, you know, it's because of the altitude. And the altitude is not changing. The altitude's not going up 3 to 4
right.
times. And then on top of it, you know, you have, it's just pretty, it's a black eye on the state. And so, of course, the state doesn't want to acknowledge it and say, hey, we have a problem. You know, we have this issue. Everybody's kind of just turning their head away from it. And what's happening is suicide rate just continues to move up.
And it seems like the Mormon Church didn't want to acknowledge that either.
No, I think, you know, nobody wants to acknowledge their frailties. Nobody wants to shine a light on something that's broken in a culture or society. But that's exactly what has to happen in order to create change. And so I think that for me, you know, I've born and raised Mormon. I have a lot of love for Mormonism and you know, there's a lot of great things that come of it.
Sure.
But this is a unique way that the culture is failing. And what it comes down to is at the end of the day, we just cannot be telling our youth within Orthodox religion. It's not just Mormonism. It's, you know, it's Judaism. It's the Muslim faith. It's any Orthodox religion that tells our youth that their most innate sense of being, their sexuality, which is unchangeable, is sinful. How could you ever expect a child to have a healthy life when you tell them it's that, you know, something that should be celebrated, their ability to love, should be ashamed of, and they should Amen. Hide it and fight against it and suppress it. So.
Amen. Dan, I was very impressed by the fact that you had the conversation of should I leave the Mormon Church or should I remain a Mormon and try to change the church? And the latter seems like it's much more difficult.
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, if I walked away from Mormonism and said, you know what, I disagree with this and you're killing our youth, I'm out of here. I just think that doesn't do anything. That's not going to create any change. It's you know, people, I know there's people, so many people on the outside of Mormonism or religion that would look in on this and say, this is stupid. If you really cared about this, you would say, Mormonism sucks and everybody should get out. And I got to say that's just an uneducated point of view because, first of all, like I said, it won't do anything if I leave. And second of all, you can't tell these kids who are 14, 15 years old to leave their situation.
Right.
Greater risk. They might get kicked out of the house. That you know, they might believe in that faith. And then you're taking away their faith structure completely on top of them having to deal with fighting their sexuality. And so you're putting them in actually a more dangerous position. So my goal is to stay within the home and try to put out the fire instead of just walking away.
I lived in Utah for many years, and the sense of community and the sense of tribe and family that is Mormonism, I can imagine that's something hard to leave, even if you think something really awful is happening in that religion. So I commend you for staying and wanting to fight it from the inside. But something was so important in this documentary was you understanding, and I tweeted you this, to watch you actually learn and grow in real time in this documentary was something just beautiful and astounding to see. But the fact that you said, by being silent, I'm a passive agreeer. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, you know, I think that one thing that has become increasingly important to me as I get older and have, you know, I have three little girls. And if for me, I've really decided that in life, I'd rather be offensive and learning than be quiet and because I'm afraid of learning or I'm afraid of offending someone along the way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that even in becoming an ally, there's really so much to learn, whether it's, you know, the pronouns, whether it's how to speak about it in a way that is not offensive but also to understand it because, you know, obviously I'm a heterosexual white male, so I'm about as privileged as you get. And so for me, this was a world that the only way that I knew about it was one, my first, you know, best friend in middle school was gay and Mormon, and I watched his conflict continually throughout, you know, middle school and high school. And he went to dances with girls, and he was just always depressed, always sad. And that was devastating to me. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is at the end of the day, it's we live in this world right now where I think everybody's so afraid to be offensive that restricts people from growing and having conversations that they need to have, frankly, you know, because that's the way that you grow. And so it's hard for me to watch the documentary to see me kind of in this state of no education, you know, and just all heart. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that that is an important part of the story.
It does start with you sort of apologizing to everybody for not understanding it, not taking a stronger stand earlier, and it seems so heartfelt. I thought that was very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think, I don't know, you know, life is all about growing outside of your bubble. And I was raised, so I was raised in Las Vegas. That's my hometown, but I did go to school in Utah, BYU, until I got kicked out, which is another story. Another day. Our guitarist is from Utah his entire life. And so Utah does have a lot of roots for me.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, everybody just has their own perspectives. They see the world as the 100 people they know. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, the world is my 100 friends who are Mormon. Isn't everybody Mormon? You know what I mean? And so you grow up and you start to realize, oh, this is actually a tiny grain of sand on the beach, and the world is so much larger than this. And so I think it's so important to continually grow your perspective.
We're talking to Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons about the movie Believer tonight at 8 p.m. on HBO. It is a great and important watch, and I'm so happy that I saw it. I wanted to ask you, I apologize in advance, I'm not a lyrics guy when it comes to music, but is the song Believer, which the movie is named after, is that the intent of the lyrics of the song? Did you think about this ahead of time, or did it just work in perfectly?
You know, it's interesting because it's a little bit of both. It was a broad view on me deciding, you know, in my life that I was going to go down a path that was for the first time for myself. I really lived a lot of my life trying to be as inoffensive to people, to not hurt my parents, to not hurt their beliefs, to not hurt my friends. And so I really knew that, you know, I was going into a phase of life where I was going to speak my truth. And I knew that was going to hurt some people or anger some people along the way. So, you know, the first line of that song is first things first, I'm going to say all the things inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. And it was kind of my liberating moment of speaking my truth. And so, yeah, certainly this documentary is part of that. And there have been people along the way who are behind it, like you guys, and I appreciate that. But there have also been, you know, I've gotten countless emails from people or met parents who have said, you know, you're going to die and you're going to see God, and God's going to say, shame on you. You made more kids gay.
Dude.
And
that's a scary frame of mind.
That's an actual thing that people believe, you know, and all you can do is say, well, sorry you feel that way.
You've got to stay off the internet, Dan.
Yeah.
Seriously, don't ever read the comments. Yeah. That's what we've learned doing this job. Last question from me, sir, and that is, it's a two-parter. Are you surprised you, as outspoken as you have been on this issue, have not been excommunicated from the church? And B, if that does happen, will you be deeply hurt?
That's a great question. If I was excommunicated, would I be deeply hurt? Yeah, for sure I would. My whole family's Mormon, and when you are excommunicated, it's being told that your whole family is going to go to this great place in heaven, and you're going to go to a dark, sad place where you don't get to be with them. Whether that's true or not, just that, you know, if it's true to them,
even
if it wasn't true to me and it's just true to my mom, that's devastating to tell to my mom. You know what I mean? So would I be hurt? Yeah, of course I'd be hurt. Do I think they'll do it? I don't want to
poke
no,
the bear.
They won't do it, cause, you know, maybe they'll be like, hey, are you calling us out? You know?
Right.
Let's not make it a challenge.
I think it'd be really silly to excommunicate someone for saying, hey, we're losing our youth, and that's a fact, and let's all love them better. And then if the church were to say, hey, that's not cool of you to say that, excommunicate it.
Yeah.
You are
the best look for the Mormon church.
A credit to your religion, a credit to your country, too, Dan. This is a very important work, and you did a tremendous job, and I know it must not have been easy to let those cameras in, especially so much into your home life with you and your wife and your kids and everything else. But I urge everybody to check it out tonight on HBO at 8 p.m. And then at some point after HBO has the run, it'll be available to everybody else who doesn't have cable, right? At some point, this will be available for all to see, right, Dan?
Correct.
Okay, good times. Hey, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We love you. We love the band. We'll talk again soon, okay? You bet.
Thank you, Dan. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
How about a trip to Lollapalooza in Chicago, August 2nd through 5th? Stryker will give it away this afternoon between 5 and 6. You can qualify for that in about 5 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show and every hour all day long today here on K-Rock. Lollapalooza, you guys. And by the way, this year's lineup, Jack White, Imagine Dragons, we just had Dan Reynolds on the show, Arctic Monkeys, Portugal the Man, Churches, Walk the Moon, and so much more. Your chance to qualify coming up right after Ally's What's Happening. Happening for this Monday,
guys? Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes,
right.
Looks great.
Yes,
yeah! Can't wait.
It's in theaters July 6th. But how would you, yes, you listening right now, like to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance IMAX screening of Marvel Studios Ant-Man and the Wasp?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
At IMAX headquarters, all you right. guys.
All right.
How great is this? This is going down July 2nd. That's 4 full days before the losers in the theater see it. You are winning. So give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and let's take callers 20 through 25. You are all going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance IMAX screening of Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And I hear that we are... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And by 20 through 25, you mean 20
through 24. 20
through
24, sure
correct,
do.
Yes.
God damn it,
Matt. Just checking.
Wow, so right.
What is the square root of 144?
12. How'd I know that? I don't. With the, oh.
We are sending Beer Mug to the world premiere tonight, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure that means that Mugs will be bringing us a long-form interview with Evangeline Lilly and Paul Rudd.
Like he
does. I can only imagine.
Like he does,
mm-hmm.
right.
Absolutely. So, looks like Ewan McGregor. Maybe back as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars 9 film.
I thought Disney was poo-pooing all over these films.
No, this is Star Wars 9.
No, this is the Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, this is the end of this trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No. They already said that we're going to set aside at the time. We're not going to do the Obi-Wan film, all the other standalones. And then they declined that rumor. Because they were like, we never said that. But there have been reports that director Stephen Daldry from that project left. So who knows what's happening with all that. However, the London Sun is reporting that Ewan was secretly filming scenes for the upcoming J.J. Abrams-directed Star Wars 9. And if that's true, that means he's back as Obi-Wan. And we also have Billy Dee Williams, who is rumored to be back as Lando Calrissian.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
That's right? What I'm saying. They are filming next month, so we should know much more at that point. But that's good news.
Yeah, that's great.
That's real good news. Some more Star Wars stuff for you. Big auction of props and some other stuff from Star Wars film Return of the Jedi at Julian's Auctions in Las Vegas on Saturday. The blaster that Harrison Ford's character Han Solo used in the movie sold for $550,000.
Wow.
That's something else right there, man.
That's what I'm saying. It went to Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. So maybe we'll be able to see it here. We can go visit the blaster.
Huh.
But then we'd be like, I believe it because it's his blaster and you paid for it. Right? Isn't that what you do in that museum?
I mean,
you
guess,
believe
sure.
it or not? No?
I don't get it.
Okay. An Ewok prop axe from Return of the Jedi went for $11,000. This article says that the record for the most expensive Star Wars item, do you know what item that would be?
Darth Vader mask?
Bean, nope. Do you have a guess?
My guess will be one of the Yodas that they used in the film.
Well, you're on the right track. It is an R2-D2 unit seen in numerous Star Wars films, sold at auction for $2.76 million.
He was such an asshole.
Why? Back in June of 2017. R2-D2 was not an asshole at all. But wow, what do you do with that?
What do you do with that? I don't know.
Just keep it in your bedroom. Like,
what's that? Oh, R2-D2.
Throw stuff on it. Like, it's just a weird hamper.
It's like a hat rack.
Right? I don't know. If you could have anything from Star Wars, what would it be?
The Darth Vader mask?
Yeah, I think so. It would have
pretty
to be
strong.
Something Vader-related for
yeah.
me. Oh, because God knows I'm not wearing that chain-link swimsuit, you know what I'm saying? Oh, that's sad. Some birthdays for you. Angela Kinsey, Ricky Gervais, Busy Phillips, and Linda Cardellini. And that's what's happening.
Congratulations to K-Rock Road Trip Destination number 5 winner Sarah Saunders from West Hollywood.
Mm.
She goes into the drawing that Stryker's going to do this afternoon at 5, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a good deal. Yeah, okay. 5 o'clock. So you win like Sarah did at 9, and then you have another chance at 10, 11, 12, all the way up until 5 p.m. And then Stryker takes all of the day's qualifiers and gives one a four-day pass to Lollapalooza in Chicago, including round-trip airfare and hotel. So there's a different grand prize winner for the day every day in the 5 o'clock hour. So stick around for your chance to win coming up.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
If I can add something to folks who were just listening to the Smashing Pumpkins interview here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's that there are going to be some tickets available for sale to the public. Stand by. We'll release that information as soon as we have it. And that we'll have more to give away on the program. We gave away 10 pair this morning to get folks into that show Wednesday night. And we'll have more tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So if you love the Pumpkins, you're glad they're back, you definitely want to join us tomorrow. All right, Allie, you are up with our final look at what's happening here on this Monday.
So Tom Holland Instagrammed something, a video, and he might have let a little spoiler out. But here's what he said. He said, "Sorry for no announcements, but I love you guys." People are like, "Well, what does that mean?" Then you click on the video and he says this.
"Hey guys, what's up? It's Tom Holland here. I am at the Ace Seattle Comic Con having a great time, meeting everyone. It's going really well. I wanted to apologize because there's no real revelations coming out this weekend about Spider-Man 2. I don't know much about it. I'm a little confused because I died, so I don't really know how it all comes into play. But I do know is I got the new script. I'm super excited to read it. And it's going to be great. So, yeah, Spider-Man 2, let's do this."
So he holds up a tablet with the script, and it says on it, "Spider-Man, Far From Home." So did he just reveal the title of the Spider-Man movie?
You think it was accidental or on purpose?
I think it was on purpose to get people talking about it, because previous teases are that the movie is going to feature international locations. So if he's far from home,
right,
that would make sense, right?
Why did, forgive my ignorance on this, Kevin, you would know, how did Spider-Man die? Why did Spider-Man die in the other movie?
Got shot right in the balls.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Or is he talking about Infinity War?
Infinity War. Yeah. Oh, Infinity War. Okay.
Yeah.
A bunch of people died in Infinity War.
Well, that makes we sense. Think.
Right.
We
right.
don't know.
Right.
So here's the thing. All will be revealed in good time because Far From Home doesn't open until July 5th, 2019. That's a full 2 months after the release of Avengers 4. So obviously, he survived Thanos.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Listen, now, I don't want to have to walk you guys through these movies I've never seen.
Of course. I'm surprised to hear all the hoopla about Tom Holland's Instagram, because when Beer Mug caught up with him recently at the red carpet of the last Avengers movie, I feel like they covered some of the same ground.
"Hey, Tom, what's it like being the Amazing Spider-Man?"
"It's really cool."
"Thank you, Tom."
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I think that was a scoop. Nobody covered that.
Good God.
I think that was Muggs acting like he was Tom Holland.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
He wasn't there.
We didn't want to point it out.
Right.
Yeah. Congratulations, Kit Harington and Rose Leslie. They, of course, are both from Game of Thrones, and they got married to each other in real life, you guys.
Why?
Well, they're in love, and they got married during a romantic ceremony at the bride's family castle in Scotland.
Like you do.
Yes. All sorts of co-stars were there. Peter Dinklage, Maisie Williams, Sophie Turner, Emilia Clarke. And we talked about this earlier. When you get an invitation to any of that cast wedding, aren't you a little bit like, ugh, red wedding, don't want to go? Well, because murder, mostly.
Just murder.
Just why?
A lot of dead people at that wedding is all I'm saying.
Why?
And this is a bummer for anyone that was following along with, remember Making a Murderer?
Sure.
And Brendan Dassey, who was the nephew of Stephen Avery, who most people think is the one guilty of the murder, and that maybe young Brendan Dassey was coerced to saying he was involved in the murder.
With his IQ of 76 or whatever it is.
Yeah, really low IQ, really weird way that they went about it. He is serving a life sentence after being convicted with his uncle in separate jury trials for that rape and murder in 2005. And now the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to take up the case of Brendan Dassey. So basically, that's it, right? You don't come back from
after
that.
After the Supreme Court, you're done.
Unless they can get another court of appeals on the basis of new evidence to reopen the case.
Right.
Yeah, I think they've gone as far as they can go with what they've got.
Oof.
That's disappointing for a lot of the people who watched that Netflix series and thought the kid got a raw deal.
Yeah, and the judge that was bringing it to, she had said that his confession wasn't voluntary and that this was just a huge miscarriage of justice. That's why it had gone to the Supreme Court. So,
they said no thanks?
They're like, not interested.
We're
though.
Good.
Full up.
Allie, have you watched Evil Genius yet?
I have not watched it yet. I know. I'm very busy. Very busy.
I give Allie so much homework with TV to watch.
I know. I need to watch that.
And then she spends every minute of her day fighting birds. So.
I know, I'm very busy. Thank you for noticing.
What's she supposed to do?
See, I can't watch TV in that room because it's so loud with the birds. So that's the problem.
Oh, life is hard.
It's the birds.
You got to get out of town.
I think that's true. That's what it all boils down to. And I didn't get to ask guys from Smashing Pumpkins about this, but what is it like if you're up on the stage and then all of a sudden you really need to use the potty? Well, this happened in Cardiff, Wales, twice to Ed Sheeran.
The fear.
Yeah, he had to skedaddle off to use the men's room and said, quote, "I've been gigging since I was 14 and I've never done that. And now I do it in front of 60,000 people. Three
scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop."
Then three songs later, he had to go again.
Yeah,
nice.
That is a whole new level of embarrassing
in front of
that many people.
Yeah, like, be right back, guys. And then you come back, like, do you look thinner? Like, right. How's it going?
So he didn't try to hide it by saying he had to go off for a costume change or anything like that. He just came straight up and said, "I gotta poop."
Wouldn't you think? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
did he turn and run?
Just
the second time, probably.
Butt clenched, just kind of water like a penguin. That's devastating. Oh, Ed, I feel you out there. Some birthdays for you. Actresses, Busy Phillips, Linda Cardellini, Angela Kinsey, and happy birthday to comic Jimmy, Ricky Gervais. I call him Jimmy.
Sure.
It's just what we do. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. This is SoCal Helpful. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. You work kids' birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a special kind of hell, am I right?
We found out this morning, based on a video promoting the return of Glow on Netflix, that Alison Brie used to be a children's party clown, making balloon animals and the whole deal. And we thought, is there a worse job in the world?
Yeah, that just sounds terrible. Also, tomorrow morning, we have Warren G in studio. And we've got your passes to see the advanced screening of Ant-Man and the Wasp. And we've got more tickets for Smashing Pumpkins in the intimate venue. They're calling it an intimate venue.
Very intimate.
Which means tiny. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.